I have a few words of introduction tonight before I get to the homily proper. And I know that there are some of you out there who time the length of our homilies. So this does not count in the total of my homily time tonight, just so we're aware of that at the beginning. First of all, tonight I would like to acknowledge and welcome Father Foley, who is obviously no stranger to any of us, but Father Foley is celebrating the 50th anniversary of his ordination to the priesthood this year. So it is a particular joy to have you here tonight as we celebrate this Mass of the Lord's Supper and the institution of the ministerial priesthood tonight as you celebrate this very significant milestone in your life and ministry. I'd also like to say thank you to all of our liturgical ministers. We don't have an opportunity at the end of this Mass to do that, so right here, I'd just like to say thank you to all of our musicians and music ministers for all of your very hard work over many months, for our liturgical ministers, altar servers, and welcome team members, and sacristans, and everyone who helps us to worship so well during this time. My thanks to all of you. And I'd also like just to let you know that tonight at this Mass, we're going to be offering Holy Communion under both species. So the body of the Lord and also the blood of the Lord. And it has been some time since we have received from the chalice. So there will be four chalice stations, each corresponding to a host station. And just as a reminder, if you would like to receive the precious blood, you make a bow to the chalice as you would when you come up to receive the body of the Lord. Take the chalice from the minister, simply receive a little sip of the precious blood and return the chalice back to the minister. Just also so that you're aware, there is not required to receive the precious blood. Holy Communion is a 100% in each species, so it's not like a 50-50 proposition. It is 100% Jesus in both species of Holy Communion. But tonight, as we celebrate this Mass of the Lord's Supper, I think it's very, very appropriate that we offer Holy Communion under both species. Now the homily proper begins. St. John, in the gospel that Deacon Marty just proclaimed to us, takes us to the night of the Last Supper. And St. John's gospel comes a few years later than Matthew, Mark, and Luke's gospels. So the tradition of telling of the story of Jesus sharing of the bread and the wine that is his body and blood at the Last Supper is well established in the Christian community by the time John's gospel comes along. Even St. Paul, whom we heard in the second reading tonight, who is actually the earliest written account of the Last Supper, all of that was established in the Christian community. So when St. John writes his gospel, he tells us about a different part of the Last Supper, about the Lord washing the feet of his apostles. And St. John begins his gospel taking us to the night of the Last Supper. He says that Jesus loved his own in the world, and he loved them to the end. He loved his own in the world, and he loved them to the end. And every time I sit down and read this particular gospel passage, every time I hear it proclaimed on Holy Thursday, it always strikes my heart. This very simple sentence and what is contained in there. Even after these years of preaching on this, some 17 now, nothing compared to Father Foley's 50, but still, to hear it again each year is so striking. Jesus loved his own in the world, and he loved them to the end. All of what happens over the next 3 days, over this Holy Thursday and Good Friday and Holy Saturday and Easter, it all happens because of this one statement. because of the love of Jesus. And the church celebrates these days as really one day, as one continuous liturgical action, as if the 24 hours that constitute a day just fall away during this time. And even the passing of years falls away during this time. And those events that happened in the past, the liturgy brings them here to this very moment, so that we can be there. We can be there as we witness how Jesus loves us, and he loves us to the end. The liturgy brings all of that to our present. All of this because Jesus loved us to the end. The great mysteries that we celebrate specifically tonight are because Jesus loves us to the end. How he washes the feet of his apostles to demonstrate to Peter what it means to follow him. Instituting the Eucharist as the memorial of the sacrifice which he will offer the next day on Friday. And ordaining the first priests of the new covenant. All of this flows from the love of Jesus, and it flows back to the love of Jesus. And as I was reflecting on this statement of St. John, this opening sentence of his gospel, the love that Jesus has to the end, I thought to myself, well, what is the end that he's talking about? What is the end to which this love is oriented? Is it to the end of his life? Well, yes, but we also know that there's more. We know that Jesus is risen. Jesus knew that he would rise from the dead as well. So there must be more. Is it to the end of our lives? Well, yes, but we also know that there's more to our lives than this earth, that we are promised heaven as well. Is this love of Jesus to the very end of the world? Well, yes, but there's more than that. We hear in the book of Revelation of a new heaven and a new earth where all things will be eternal, where we won't need sacraments anymore because God will be all in all. So the end that St. John talks about tonight and the end that Jesus loves us to is not a chronological event, but rather it's a purpose. Or really we might say that it's a goal. God created the world and everything in it, including all of us, to share his love. He had no need to create, but he created us to have an intelligent being who could share his love. And when we had messed all of that up, Jesus became man so that we would know how infinitely valuable we are and loved by God. Even what we celebrate tonight is a sign of that goal. The priesthood is established as a vehicle by which the love of Jesus is perpetuated down through the ages, even until the end of time, so that we can have the Eucharist, which is the very embodiment of his love poured out. And that pouring out of the love that happens at this altar is so powerful that it changes bread and wine into the body and blood of Jesus. Jesus knows that we are, as human beings, are so tied to the physical world, to the things that we can touch and see and feel, experience with our senses, that he establishes this sacrament so we can say, look, there's Jesus. There's his love. And the command of charity, helps us Christians to be agents of the love of Jesus down through the ages, and to be a sign of that love in our world. Love is the goal. Jesus loves us to the end because God is love. It's not one of his attributes or qualities. It's his very substance. And the sign of that love is that man hanging on the cross. God giving himself for us so that we can know how much we are loved. This is how Jesus loves to the end. It's the goal that he wants us all to achieve. The priesthood, the Eucharist, the command of charity all helps us move towards that goal, which is to be with God forever, the God who is love. The psalmist asked tonight, how can I make a return to the Lord for all the good he has done for me? And the answer to that question is that we know that we are loved by God, and we make a return to him by simply knowing and appreciating the fact and living for the fact that he loves us to the end.